Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Welcome to this podcast. I'm Jeremy Naylor with UK Investor Magazine, a gold sponsor of the Aquis Showcase 2025, live at the Royal College of Surgeons in central London on the 19th of November. More on this at the end of the podcast, but we're talking now to the chief executive of Solnox, Ben Richardson, one of the presenting companies at the event. Solnox develops fuel additives that enhance combustion engine performance. Ben, welcome. Look, you're a busy man. Thanks for your time. We wanted to catch up with you briefly before you go on to the Aquis event this year, having been a finalist back in 2024. How has the last year been?
Well, as you rightly say, I've been a busy man. It's been a year where the company has gone from strength to strength. For those that follow, we've had back-to-back-to-back record quarters. And, you know, the last quarter was 30% up on the previous quarter, but expanding massively in different geographies around the world. And pleased to say now, sold in more than 40 countries with patents, including the new oil reclamation patents, which complement our fuel consumption reduction technologies and emission reduction technologies with a whole new outlook. So patented in more than 50 countries today. And as such, I've been around the world.
What are your largest markets then at the moment? I ask this because I know you've got plans to expand in the US, but there's lots of high profile companies you've visited over the last year.
Yeah, so it's probably easier to say that the largest sector is marine, and marine is obviously a global array of customers. And I'd say that probably 80% or 80% plus of our revenues are coming from the marine sector. And this is because the giant ships that we provide the products to reduce their fuel consumption are being hit on two fronts. Firstly, the cost of fuel, which has always been there, but also the regulatory impact is particularly burdensome for them. And by being able to reduce marine consumption, we can save, for instance, a large container ship about $1 million per vessel per annum. And that's a combination of fuel savings and also reductions in the EU ETS and other regulatory taxation that they have to pay. So the biggest sector is really marine, and it's global, which is why I've been in Singapore and Greece many times as well. But if we talk about geography specifically, I've also been in West Africa a fair bit. Pleased to say that we're now part of the fuel at several fuel station chains in Ghana, for instance. But the product's growing in many sectors, including generators and the mining sector, as well as traditional logistics and freight, where we see 8 to 10% fuel savings in trucking. But we've branched out into the likes of locomotives this year as well and got some great case studies there about reducing consumption and emissions on freight trains.
Yeah, you talk about the marine business. The IMO, the International Marine Organization, I believe it is, has recently changed rules on emissions. Does this play into your strategy?
Well, the problem really was actually that nothing really happened at the MEPC at the end. Instead, they deferred a lot of the plans to move to alternative fuels for another year. But the biggest problem in marine is that fuel consumption is relating directly to emissions, and that's what they're paying the regulatory fines on. What we were hoping for is that we got the ability to demonstrate actual emissions reduction or continuous emissions monitoring, as we call it, because our products have the ability to reduce CO2 around 20%. And you can imagine a lot of companies' targets are to reduce CO2 emissions by 2030 to that sort of level. So we've got an overnight solution, but not just for marine, but for all, you know, heavy fuel users to get them to net zero instantly rather than wait for alternatives to come through.
In your final results in September, you reported a more than doubling in revenue growth, which all looks very good, but also a loss and notes about, I think, what you call material uncertainty relating to going concern. How do you plan to move to profitability and positive cash flow?
Well, I think, you know, we're putting together, as I mentioned, back-to-back record quarters. And whilst we may not be profitable this year, what we've done now is partner with some significant players, and pleased to say that these partnerships will be far more lucrative in terms of future revenues. So I don't expect us to have a steady increase in revenues. I expect step changes to happen to take us to profitability. And if I look recently, we've had another major shipping fleet out of Greece adopt adopt the product. They've got a fleet of 28 bulkers and tankers, and that deal alone is very lucrative for us. We went to press the other day on this. So we've got 75 other shipping companies using the product now, and it's only a matter of time before they adopt, especially with the need to reduce their consumption, as I mentioned earlier. But we're also getting great feedback about how we're enhancing the engines, reducing the cost of maintenance, which you can imagine is multifaceted, both in terms of reducing the day-to-day costs, but also keeping vessels or trucks on the road for longer periods of time, so they're not foregoing income that they would make. So the outlook is very positive, and we've not just got our traditional products that reduce fuel costs and emissions with today's fuels, but we're now developing other products that work specifically with biofuels. And biofuels are likely to make up about 30% of fuel consumption, even in 2050. And we are thought leaders in this space. So we have the ability to stabilize the fuels to deal with water issues that many of them face, being hydrophilic. So, you know, the future is very bright, and I expect that the going concern issues go away in a very short space of time.
Yeah, very briefly, the deal you were talking about sent shares to three-month highs. How are you feeling now? You're a small company. It is difficult, I know, for small companies at the moment. And are you having to look over your shoulder for anybody wanting to take over the business? Or do you see that this is an opportunity here to be part of a larger organization, maybe?
So I was in Abu Dhabi at ADIPEC last week, the largest energy trade show and conference. And there's clearly a lot of interest in how a product like ours can help large companies to get to net zero as quick as possible. My honest answer is I suspect that we're too small. Big companies tend to only buy big companies, and instead expect that any interest will start with a small shareholding that can grow through time, perhaps even help us to grow with a board position or introducing others to increase our sales and revenues.
One final question. We've got the Aquis event coming up. What's your message going to be to those attending the event? As I said last year, you were a finalist, and clearly that comes with a certain cachet within the Aquis community. How do you feel about things going into this event?
Well, I'm super excited. Yes, to come runner-up, I think it's 2 years in a row now, is a little disappointing. I'm hoping to put it right this year. But look, we've got a product that the world needs. We have an energy transition solution that is a proven practical solution to reduce fossil fuel consumption today. And if we think about it at a high level, if everyone used the product today, we could actually cut the equivalent carbon footprint of all the transport in Europe. As I mentioned earlier in the interview, we can get companies to net zero targets that they've set themselves almost instantaneously whilst reducing the overall consumption of fossil fuels across the planet. And the other side of it that often overlooked is we reduce the black smoke and nitrous oxides so dramatically that we can actually make the air cleaner for all, because the climate crisis is also an air quality crisis, especially if we look at countries like India as well.
A fascinating prospect given the global energy transition which is underway. Ben, look, we'll have to leave it there, but thanks indeed for joining us.
Thanks ever so much, Jeremy. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
That's Ben Richardson from Solnox, one of the attendees at the Aquis Showcase event 2025. If you'd like more information to receive an invitation, just put Aquis Showcase 2025 into your web search bar and click on the relevant entry. Looking forward to seeing you there.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.